Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Well, they did some yummy stuff on the menu, didn't they? It's some kind of a yummy thing. I didn't order it, but, you know, they had a yummy thing. I was like, well, that's cool. Yummy stuff. Yum, yum. I had the meatloaf, and meatloaf's been really good the second and the third time. It's been really good. I would have danced more, but I didn't want it the fourth time. So I was like, it's good, though. I love meatloaf. I'm a sucker for a good meatloaf. Yum. Shaba, singe. Well, I'm really I've been so blessed to be here. I'm just thrilled. I was, anytime Elam people, stuff like that, we get together. I love that because, you know, we got the same DNA and it's always just fun. It's easy. I don't feel like I got to go plow ground or break through or, oh my God, you know, and that's always fun. You know, bring your own anointing because there ain't one there. You know? So this was just good to get away, and it wasn't that far away either, so it was really good, yeah. And wow. Yeah, we just had a wild conference with Joshua Mills and Jeff Jansen. That was powerful. We enjoyed that. And we got what I like about coming to our church, too, it's a little more intimate than the Toronto thing, and you can just get trashed in an all-new special way. It's just really good. You know, sometimes those big things, you can get lost in the whole thing, but it's good. It's a lot of fun. We really love it. Wow. Good. Wow. Wow. I was out in the parking lot, took about 20 sermons, threw them in the air, and said, what do you want to do now? They all flew away, so I don't know what to do. So it was a windy day. Lord said, nah, none of that. So it's good. Woo. Shaba, singe, kababashte. You know, just the whole word inheritance has been a big word for me, and I'm blessed to be a third generation apostolic preacher, and my grandfather, both their roots are right out of the Welsh revival and that whole thing, and so my grandfather is buried with two archangels over his grave. And you could spit from the plaque where it says where the revival began. You could spit from there and hit his tombstone, you know. And so I go there and right where the revival began, and I feel such roots there, and I'm all excited, and I'm having an epiphany, and my wife's like, whatever, they're all dead people, you know. But I mean, her heritage is they were drunk, and then before that they were drunks, and then before that they were drunks, you know. And so I said, you just don't get it, you know. But, you know, she's been redeemed from that line. Hallelujah. And now she's drunk in a whole different way. And she said, look, my bloodline goes all the way back to the cross. So you got some bunch of dead tombs. My Christ is alive. Ooh. So, yeah. Would you like to say something? You should say something.
Well, actually, it's been a real pleasure to be here with you. It's so nice to meet really kindred spirits and everything. And I just have to say to Joan and Don, I admire you on so many different levels. You know, I just admire that you're not trying to retire, but you're just trying to always refire in the Lord. I admire the fact that you're 48 years married. I admire the fact that you love the river and you love the glory. I admire the fact that you raise children to serve the Lord. I just admire you folks on so many different levels you can't even imagine. I just feel warm fuzzies. So I just, it's been a real pleasure to be here. You know, God's saying it's your turn. And you know, I don't think Jesus, we can hasten his day. We can hasten the coming of his day by making every one of the enemies of our soul, our spirit, and our lives his footstool, you know. And we are, it says that all the enemies will be put under his feet. And we are the feet of Christ today because we're the body of Christ. We are spiritually and physically the body of Christ manifest on the earth. And the church has to come to a place where every single enemy of the cross, every single enemy of our soul is crushed underneath our feet. And we need to overcome poverty. Amen? It's an enemy to me. It's an enemy. I need to overcome poverty. I need to put it under my feet. You know, sickness, it's an enemy and it's an affront to the cross. And I need to put it under my feet. And we are the feet of Christ manifest on the earth today. And as a kingdom of God, the church of God, we must make every single enemy of the cross something that is under our feet. Amen? Everything. Amen? And, you know, I was thinking that doesn't mean that every single person will manifest that kind of nature, character, and posture. But we have to, on a consistent basis, as a church of God, be making an example and a display that every single enemy is under our feet. Amen? No more sickness, no more poverty, no more brokenness, no more, you know, abandonment, no more, none of those things, no more cancer, no more leukemia, no more MS. Those are all enemies of the cross and they're enemies of me. They keep me from manifesting the full glory of God. And so I believe that the Lord's held back in heaven until all of these enemies become under the feet of the church. Amen? And so often in the last couple days, I've just heard the Lord say two words to me. And I was sharing at our conference that the Lord has just said to me, there's a scripture that says, command ye me. Yeah. And the scripture, and another thing the Lord said, you know, you got my ear. Yeah. And so he's saying, you know, what do you want to do? You're the ground troops. What do you want to do? And I feel like the Lord just saying, it's your turn. It's up to you to manifest the kingdom of God, the glory of God, to put every enemy under your feet here on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, every enemy is his footstool under his feet. On earth, every enemy of the church, every enemy of the believer must be put under our feet. And the Lord's just saying, it's your turn. Command ye me. What do you want me to do? You got my ear. Amen? And we've got his ear. You know, God's in heaven, but we're the one on the ground, and we can see what is necessary for today to enforce and advance the kingdom of God. Amen? So let's make every enemy put under our feet. Amen? We are the body of Christ. I am his feet. Amen? And I want to make sure that I disarm, along with Christ, every enemy of my soul. Amen? Okay, Pastor Carl.
Glory to Jesus. Yes. Praise him. Inheritance, inheritance, inheritance. We got a rich inheritance as a people of God. We really do. I've been blessed with a glorious inheritance as a believer. I'm amazed at what a wonderful advantage it is to be a third generation preacher. It really is something. I'm thrilled by it because I do believe in, you know, people believe in generational curses. Well, I believe the generational blessings are so much bigger. And so I'm just so thrilled. And I love my kids because my kids are going to be, you know, just fourth generation running in the glory, you know, and woo. So I'm really thrilled about it and excited about it. But, you know, it says that in Proverbs 4:18, it says the righteous, the lives of the righteous, says it shines more and more brighter, more and more clear until the coming day. The lives of the righteous get brighter and brighter. So, you know, I always believe every day, every week, every year, I just know it's getting better. And that's the word of the Lord. So you know what? No matter what our experience is, never ever subject God's word to your experience. Always insist that your experience line up with the word of God. Never ever. I mean, you know, because we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And you know what? Stuff happens. There are circumstances that surround us. Like Cheryl said, I mean, life is real. It's full on. It's right there. But never ever allow your circumstances or what you're going through or what surrounds you to dictate your theology or what your belief system is. Always make your circumstances line up with the word of God. And the word of God is powerful, and it'll manifest powerfully in your circumstances if you speak to your circumstances, command them. I love that. It says, put me in remembrance of my promises, of my words, command ye me. And that's powerful stuff. Why? Because God forgets what he told you? Oh yeah, I did say I'd heal you, didn't I? It's not that he forgets, but he wants us to put a demand on that, because that's the way it works. When we speak it, when we declare it, it comes into manifestation. So we got to do that, but we should be getting bigger and better and more full of his glory and taking more territory and taking more ground. So I'm an apostolic person. For me, being apostolic apostolic means that we possess an impartation of revelation, knowledge, and experience of authority and power to take territory from the devil. The biggest factor for me about being apostolic is that we know how to take back territory from the devil. And apostolic people are pioneering people. And pioneering people are people who go first. We go first. I don't even want to be on the cutting edge. I want to be on the bleeding edge. I don't want to be where God was. I want to be where God is. And you know, sometimes being on the very point, it's a thin line. And not a lot of people can handle the point or being on the point. But I love being on the point. And I don't care if there's a big crowd. I just care that I'm on the bleeding edge of what God's doing. I don't care how many people are there with me. I just care that I am breaking through and taking territory, new territory, taking ground back from the devil right now on purpose with power and authority. I'm so glad that the Anglican Church started putting out Alpha. Woo! I'm so glad that you know, they said we should be speaking in tongues. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, Nicky Gumbel, an Anglican guy, putting out Alpha. How wild is that? But you know what? Somebody had to pioneer a way for speaking in tongues. I'm so glad that even some of the Baptist churches are embracing that. They're breaking through. I'm so glad. But you know what? I don't want to be where God was. And I don't even want to camp around being Pentecostal. Well, we're Pentecostal, glory to Jesus. You know, I don't want to guard my well. Go ahead, drink, because I'm digging a new one. Amen. And too often we've guarded our wells and hung on to our little revelation. Well, there's new revelations. There's new wells to dig, because the righteous grow brighter and brighter. They take more territory. They always increase. Wow, I'm getting myself excited. Oh, I feel like I want to go do something wild. Woo! Yeah, it's good, good. Inheritance. You know, inheritance, I looked it up. It says, an inheritance is being advantaged, being enabled to begin where another finished, to make their ceiling your floor. An inheritance, to be advantaged, to be able to start where someone else left off. Isn't that great? And you know, I want to honor my forefathers. I want to honor my grandfather. I want to honor my father. I want to honor what they did. I want to at least give the same effort they did to what's going on. I don't want to camp around what they did and say, isn't it wonderful what they did for us? You know, the pioneering generation, they say in the history of organizations, they say that there's pioneers, there's settlers, and then there's museum keepers. And they say, look at generations of companies. They say even like the Ford family and some of these other large families, as they watch the generations go through, the same passion that was in the father wasn't there. The next generation just kind of tried to organize and take care of it, give some structure to the vision of the old man. And then the next generation later on, they were building a museum and saying, well, granddad did this, and then granddad did that, and that's why we have this. And you know, we see other generations. We see the Koreans and the Japanese dreaming new dreams, you know, and they're saying, well, you guys ain't going to do it. We will. You know, we don't want to be a bunch of museum keepers. But I see that in churches. You study the generations of moves of God, and there was passionate moves of God. But then there's people who looked at it and built a structure around it. In our organization, we were a missionary movement. We never wanted to be a denomination. Our watchword was to belt the globe. That's what it was. Belt the globe. And from right there, from Wales, bam, there was a massive revival. And there was a group of people, and they were unlearned people. Most of them coal miners. They couldn't even read or write. They would prophesy and then find somebody to read the Bible and figure out if what they said was the word of God. It was a supernatural explosion of God. And then later on, people got smart and they said, we need a constitution, we need a structure, we need an organizational structure, we need this. And you know, bang, then the thing got so organized it became dead. And we got this dry old religious box. But you know, here we are, and I've watched generations, and I see in our church, and I was the keynote speaker at our international conference back in Britain last year. It was amazing that they asked me to be the opening speaker. Blew my mind. And they said, speak on anything you want. And I said, yikes, that's scary. And the Lord told me to tell them that they've allowed the gold to become brass. Not only did it get stolen, but they replaced it with brass. And then they defended the brass. I went, ouch, that's a nasty word. He said, you know, the Lord told me to tell them that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And don't forget to carry the bones of Joseph. Because Joseph had a vision, and Joseph passed it on. He says, you're getting out of Egypt. When you get out, make sure you take my bones with me. Don't leave me here. And he passed on a passion and a vision to another generation. But you know, like, you're Elam folk, you know, and Elam's got an incredible well. Elim is a revival organization. Elim is an organization that was a mission organization, and it's got thousands and thousands of works all over the world. And you know, Elim's got a passion, and Ivan Q. Spencer had a passion. And you know, and I feel the same identity with Elim. I mean, my grandfather used to go to the Bible school and sit on the keyboard and play the piano, and as he played, students would hang around the piano, and they've told me that you know, students would hang around the piano as we'd play, and he would just rhyme off scriptures and notes and outlines of scriptures, and they would just sit and write notes while he just rhymed it off, just flowed out of him while he played the piano. You know, we got some powerful roots, some powerful stuff. But you know what? I want to give the same effort that they did. I want to take it further. I want to honor them, but let's go take some new ground. Let's do something wonderful. There's more. And let's honor our heritage by going and taking more. Amen. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, those things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. You know, there is a heritage and there is an inheritance that we've got to take a responsibility for. We talked this morning, talked a little bit about Ephesians chapter 1. It said that, you know, I pray that you would get a spirit of revelation, but he wanted you to get a revelation of your inheritance. He wants you to know that you have been incredibly blessed. You have a glorious inheritance that is invested right now in the saints. Not in the sweet by and by, but right now God has invested himself in the body of Christ. And we've got a responsibility to give our strength to what he has poured into our lives. You know, Luke chapter 15, you know that parable. It's all about, in the beginning of chapter 15, verse 1, it says the Pharisees and the scribes were murmuring and they were complaining. And it says, therefore, Jesus told these parables. And the one parable there is about the son, the prodigal. And you know, the word prodigal means waster. But if you study the parable and you go through it, Jesus' whole point of the story was not the son who went away. The whole point of the story was that there was a son who was at home. And the son who was at home, he said, son, you've been with me always. Everything I have is yours. And literally the message that he was trying to give to the Pharisees was, you fellas have a great inheritance, but you're no fun. You're a bunch of duds. I mean, I was desperate one day that you would say, let's kill the fatted calf, let's party. But you were boring. Says, and now your brother comes home and you don't even care. And he's saying to the Pharisees, I mean, you guys have been guarding the thing all along. And then, you know, everybody's starting to press into it. And you're mad that I'm here throwing a party for them. And you know, the only one who's not getting in is you. Everybody else is going to get in. And he went out, would you come in, son? And he would not enjoy his inheritance. And he would not enjoy that his brother had returned. You know, there's so much we've been invested in, and I go too many places where we don't know how much God's invested in us, and therefore we are that prodigal. We're not the one who left, but we're the ones at home that are just no fun. If God has invested in us everything for life and godliness. He has poured everything into us to change the world. There's enough power invested in us right here. There's enough in this room to shake the nation. We've got to be authentic to it. We've got to go for it. We've got to stir ourselves up and be everything that God's called us to be. In Joshua chapter 17, you're all mature folks, so instead of having to go to it all and build it all, I'm just throwing the stuff at you and you can flesh the rest of it out later on. But Joshua chapter 17, verse 15. It says, and Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get up into the wood country, cut down for yourself the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee, and if the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they and who are in Beth Shean and the towns. And Joshua spoke unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, thou art a great people, and hast great power, but thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and it shall be cut down, and of the outgoings, and it shall be thine, and thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. You are a strong people! I mean, these people came, and they said, we want an inheritance too. And he said, if you are who you say you are, get up there and possess the land. But it's a wooded country and they got iron chariots, they got stuff. And he said, oh, stop it. You'll not only take that land, but you'll take more land. Get up there, clear the land. And even if they got chariots, and even if they are giants, get up there and take it. And if you are Elam, and you are who you say you are, I know your roots. I know your DNA. So shake off any lethargy and let's take the land. There's more than enough and you'll take far more than that. There's more in you. I know it. Thought he'd be nice. It's the afternoon. We all ate. We're kind of tired. I mean, my goodness, you'd think you'd relax on us. Hey, go down to chapter 18, verses 2 and 3. It says, and there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes who had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said to them, oh, you poor people. You know, it's been hard, I know. And you know, we're going to see if we can pull together a few people, maybe take up an offering and maybe give you... Oh, I love what he said. He said, how long are you going to be slack? You slacker. You know, you love that? People come up to me, oh, pastor, life's hard, life's rough, you know, it's just, you know... Oh, what, the word doesn't work for you? Oh, you know, I mean, if it don't work for you, then figure it out. Don't be a slacker, because God's invested a great deal in you. I mean, I'm so tired of mamby-pamby people. I really am. I'm so tired of Christians who just don't get it. I'm so tired of people who want the house of God to be a hospital and they want to chronically be getting better. Get over yourself. I'm not talking to you. I'm just giving you some ammunition for those weak people in the pews. You know what I mean? Amen. How long are you going to be slack to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given to you? You've been given the land, and you've been given everything you need to possess the land. I speak blessing over this house. I speak blessing over this region. I speak blessing over your leadership. I speak blessing over you. You are well equipped. You are well able to go conquer. I speak absolute unprecedented breakthrough over you. I speak just a river of healing, of deliverance. I speak in the name of Jesus, miracles, signs and wonders, unprecedented revelations of God to burst forth in you, because your roots are supernatural. Your roots are unexplainable. Your roots are that God's favor and his hand are upon you to break through and to continue to break through and cause the break forth of many others. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Jesus. Jesus. I love this fellow named Shammah. Shammah. That's a good one, isn't it? Good one. Shammah. Go ahead. Shammah. Shammah. Ooh-ka-ooh-ba-ba-ba-ba. Shammah. If you've never spoken in tongues before, Shammah. Shammah, 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 Shammah. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 23. I like this guy. Hababa, Shammah. Haba, David's mighty men. Verse 11. Ha ha ha. Talking about all the mighty men of David. In verse 9 it says, and after that was Eleazar, the son of Dodo. Amen. He overcame that name. Amen. Son of Dodo. He was a Hothite, one of the three mighty men with David, and they defied the Philistines. They were gathered together in battle with the men of Israel. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave to the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to the spoil. That's a good one right there. The son of Dodo, the son of Odo, 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 Odo. Okay, I was looking for Shammah. Where's Shammah? That's not Shammah. Oh, thank you. I did say 11. It says right here 11 and 12. I was reading 9 and 10. And after him was, oh, there it is, Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. Now, Agi means to be lifted up, I believe. I didn't write it down here. But his name is to be lifted up, or, oh, no, actually, his name means I shall increase. Agi means I shall increase. That's his father's name. And he's from a place which is the people who are lifted up, people of high places, people of high things, people who are overcomers, overseers, overcomers. And that's his father's name. But Shammah means desolation. Like somewhere along the line, people of increase ended up naming their kids desolation. A generation after stopped being those possessing, high, increasing people. And they went from increase to barely hanging on. So here's Shammah. What an awful thing, eh, to name your kid, huh? Desolation. Come for dinner. It's not much, but you know. So here's Shammah, son of Agi, the Hararite. son of I shall increase. Desolation, son of I shall increase of the people of the overcomers, the high places. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where a piece of ground full of lentils was, a pea patch. And the people fled from the Philistines. But Shammah stood in the midst of the ground, and he defended it, and he slew the Philistines. Now listen to this. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. The Lord wrought a great victory. I mean, Shammah is the one who fought in the field, but who won the victory? The Lord took credit for that one. You know what happened? It says they would plant all their vineyards and plant all their fields, and then just about harvest time, the Philistines would come up and go, "Oh, stuff's all ready. It's all good. Let's go get it." And all the people would go, "Oh no, here come the Philistines. Run away." And they'd all run to the caves and hope that something was left over. And they'd all watch and go, "Okay, they've left. Let's go see if we've got any scraps." Well, Shammah starts watching this. He sees it go on year after year. And finally, Shammah says, "You know what? I'm fed up with this. I'm not letting the enemy steal what I've been sowing, what I've been planting for. I mean, I've been working this field for a long time, and I'm just starting to see a manifestation of a harvest. All of a sudden, the enemy comes in. Bam. You start getting some affliction and some sickness and some attacks and some strife and bitterness, and things start hitting the church. It's like, man, I thought we were just about breaking out. I thought we were just about over the edge. And now look at this. Ah! Run away, run away, run away. I'd say it's time to stand in our patch. We've been sowing too long to get chased away by the Philistines again. I'm not running away from my inheritance. This is my land. God gave me this land. He planted me here. I'm working the soil. I'm seeing miracles come up every year, and I'm not running anymore. And when everybody else ran away, Shammah stood there in his field. I'm sure Mom was going, "Desolation! Come quickly! Oh my God!" Shammah's like, "Not today, Ma. You know what, I'm not. You know, if they're going to take this from me this time, they're going to have to fight me for it. I mean it. I'm done with this." And he picked up his sword and he slew the Philistines in his field. And God won a great victory that day. Do you get it? Yeah. If God's going to win any great victories anywhere on earth, yeah, it's because people like you and me finally stand in our pea patch and say, "This is my inheritance. It's my inheritance to possess this land. This region, it's Don's. This is Don's inheritance. He's been out taking it. He just shot his deer yesterday, hung it there in the garage. It's mine." Now, these people, they're mine. You start driving around, it's mine. I walk through first class in the airplane, I go, "Where are you headed?" "Good, do a good job, because it's mine. And you, don't forget, you're working for me, because it's mine. Because my vision's global glory, so do a good job." You got to get a revelation of who you are. And you know, you got the same DNA we do. We're cutting edge people. We don't hang around where people were. We go where there's new ground, new territory. God wants you to break into new ground and break into new territory. He wants you to take more ground. It's yours. It's yours. He has given it to you. Ask of him and he'll give you the nations as your inheritance. And you know what? He wouldn't tell you to ask if he couldn't give it to you. And he wouldn't tell you to ask if he didn't want to give it to you. That's why I said, "How much can I have?" He said, "How much do you want?" I said, "I want it all." He said, "Sure." Wow. Shammah. Say Shammah. 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 Woo. Shammah. Wow. I just thought I saw Shammah. Shammah. Is Shammah here? Maybe it's Shammata. You here today? Oh, I think they're here. Yeah, I think they're here. We got to exercise our inheritance. You know, there's two things essential for you to possess your inheritance. Two things. Number one, you have to have legal access to it, which means you got to be written up in the will. Take a look right here. Last will and testament. You're written in there. It's written up in there. It's yours. Number one. Number two, you must apply a demand. It's not enough that it's written up. It's not enough that it's declared that it's yours. Devil knows it's yours. He's just wondering if you know it's yours. And if he can lie to you and tell you, no, that's far enough. Okay, let's send some devils of sickness and affliction and destruction on that church. Oh, good, they've turned in on themselves again. Good, won't hear from them for a while. Are you kidding? Beat him in the head. Let's chase him. As Cheryl said, let's put him under our feet once and for all. And let's just wreck the kingdom of darkness. Let's bring in the kingdom of God. Okay, I'm going to move on because I don't know about you, but I'm really tired. That meatloaf was just about put me over. It wasn't the meatloaf as much as it was a rice pudding. Rice pudding. As soon as it hit, I went, ugh. Instead of carb boosting, it was like I took a carb booting. It was like, boom, boom. So we got legal access to it. Amen. Amen. But we got to put a demand on it. Come on, come forth. You got to put a demand on your inheritance. So let's go to 2 Kings. This is the last time you'll have to turn. We're going to camp right here for a bit. 2 Kings chapter 13. Shama. 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 Shameta. Mm-hmm. Ha. Hmm. Hey. Whoo. Shabbos deke. All right. Let's look at 2 Kings 13 verse 14. It says, now Elisha had fallen sick with a sickness whereof he died, and Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him, and he wept over his face, and he said, oh, my father, oh, my father. He said, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And what he's basically saying right there is, my father, you're about to die, the chariots and the horsemen, because that's how Elijah was taken up, and he's saying, you're about to go. And what he's literally saying is, I'm now king. I have been anointed to be king over these people. I need your mantle. I need the anointing. I need help from God. So he's going to the man of God. He says, help me out here. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said unto the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands on his hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. And he said, shoot! And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Assyria, for thou shalt smite the Assyrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. And then he said, take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice, and he stayed. And the man of God was wroth. I love that word, don't you? Wroth. I am wroth with you. The man of God was wroth with him, and he said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Amen. That's 3 times for those of you who don't read your King James Bible enough. Thrice. Okay, let's go down to verse 21. And it came to pass as they were burying the man that behold, they spied a band of men and they cast the man into the sepulcher. Now, it says that when he touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and he stood on his feet. Then just down verse 25, it says, and Jehoash, the son of Jehoaz, took again out of the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities which he had taken out of the hand of Jehoaz, his father, by war. 3 times did Joash beat him, and he recovered the cities of Israel. 3 times he defeated him. Why? Because he only struck the ground 3 times. 3 times. Now, there's a powerful inheritance here that unfortunately went to the grave. It's very, very sad that he was so wroth with him that he did not apply himself to his inheritance. And because of that, we know that the mantle went to the grave. How do we know that? Because Elisha, when he was dead years later, and that's why it's in the context of the story. That's why it's placed right there, so that you can know there was a man who had an opportunity to defeat all of his enemies, but because he without boldness and without passion, he did not appropriate and take his inheritance. He did not put a demand on his inheritance. Therefore, a mantle, a powerful mantle of deliverance and victory was not appropriated because there was a king who was unwilling and did not have the passion to put a demand on the power of God. And still, there, resident, so powerful was that mantle on his life that his dead bones still had that resident anointing that when a dead man was thrown into the tomb of Elisha, he was raised from the dead. Ah, man, I tell you, the anointing is so powerful, isn't it? I tell you, I want to be so soaked like that, don't you? People try to find, where did they bury him? I just want to hang out there. I don't want to take my mantle to the grave, though. I don't want to make sure that we impart it to so many people. I want to make sure that we slap it on as many people as we can so people can run through the nations of the world. Shama! Stand in their pea patch and watch the Lord win a great victory. Oh, Shaba. Let's go through this real quick. I'm going to give you 7 things if I can, just real fast things. You ready? Here's how we're going to lay hold of our inheritance. Here's how we put a demand on that. And here's how we walk in that anointing. The first thing is real easy. Number one, it says, and the king came down unto him. The king came. You know what? First thing you got to do is you got to humble yourself and you got to come to the place of the anointing. That's what I love about Don and Joan here is like they're telling me about all the places they've run because they've heard there's a touch to be had. That's really cool. Oh, if God wants to touch me, he can touch me over here. I mean, what's the difference here, there, blah, blah. I run to it. I go. I invite people to come in our church. I find out somebody moving and something wild and crazy. I want some. Because you know what? The anointing is tangible. And the anointing is transferable. The anointing can be stored up. The anointing can be sucked out of people's lives. I'm always like, slap one on me. Next. I love people that are willing to leave the place of the familiar. You're willing to get uncomfortable. You're willing to do something to get the touch of God. Well, do we have to do that? God loves it when you're desperate. He really does. He loves desperate people. You know, there's a big tapestry in Britain. There's a wall of one of the castles there. They have a huge tapestry. And at the bottom it says, King Henry is comforting his troops. Comforting. And you have to understand, the King James used the word comforter for the Holy Spirit. And in the King James, you know, language, at the bottom of this tapestry is, King James is comforting his troops. You know what the picture is? He's standing with his sword in the back of his troops saying, go forward. You ever considered the comforter with a sword in your back saying, would you get on with it? Oh, but I was looking for comfort. Oh, I needed a hug. Oh, yeah, I think the Holy Spirit is coming and he's got the sword full out. And he's like, let's get on with it. Just smile at your neighbor. Say, it's okay. It's all right. It's all right. Okay. Number one, you gotta come to the place of the anointing. You gotta be willing to leave familiar things. Ha 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 ha. Boy, I got two outlines here, and they both say the same thing. It's good. Humble yourself, and come. Number two, you gotta pick up your gifting. It says, take bow and take arrows. Take bow and take arrows. Now, you've got a gifting. You've got an impartation. You've got something from God. Every one of you are gifted by God. And you know what? You got to know what those are. You got to know who you are. That's one thing we do extensively with our people is we put them through all manner of different things and in our mentoring stuff. And we let people find out who their strengths are and their personality strengths, their gifting strengths. We do Myers-Briggs with all our leaders. We do all kinds of things. We do strength finders. We do all their spiritual gifts. We want to know. We want them to know who they are because they've got an anointing, they got a specific gifting, they got specific callings that we want to put people where they will function best. And we don't want to put people in weird places in the body where they won't have any joy or won't function. But you know, you've got a calling and you've got a gifting, and your gifting is to lead the body of Christ. And you got to pick up your gifting, you got to know what it is, you got to get it in your hand, and you got to position yourself to get ready to be used by God. All right, take the bow and take the arrows in your hand. So position yourself, pick it up. Number three now, put it in thy hand. Put thy hand on the bow. Now, number three is you got to position yourself. Position yourself. Now, put yourself in the right place. Now, it's good to know your gifting, but then you got to position yourself. You know, sometimes you got to align yourself with ministries. And some of you, you know, might be here today, or you could be, that you're wondering, do I want to hook up with Elam? What do I want to do? I've got a gifting. I got a calling. You know, who do I want to hook up with? Who do I want to link up with? And you got to position yourself and put yourself in a place of your destiny. Put yourself in your field. Put yourself in that place where you can get your breakthrough. So find out. You got to be linked up with people. I mean, I'm always positioning myself with people. I'm always aligning myself with people. I know what my gifting is. I know what I need. And hook yourself up. Line yourself up with other people, because you can do so much more with other people and being hooked up than you can on your own. All right, so it says, put your hand on your bow. So humble yourself, get out of the familiar places and get yourself to the place of the anointing. Number two, pick up your gifting. Number three, position yourself for usefulness. Amen? Position yourself for usefulness. I get so many people that are gifted, but they don't position themselves. I get so many people in my church, they got incredible giftings, incredible strengths. They're frustrated as all get out, but they're too stuck in other things. And they're not positioning themselves to be used by God. I said, I'd love to use you, but you think coming to church once a month is good enough. You got incredible giftings, incredible ability, but you're not giving yourself to it. I'd rather use somebody that's willing and not as gifted as you than you with the great giftings and abilities, but you won't position yourself to be used. All right, number four. Number four is you got to get the hand of God on it. Because it doesn't matter how gifted or how wonderful you are. It's not by power and it's not by might, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. So you got to get the Spirit of God. It says, put your hand on your bow. And then it says, and Elisha put his hands on the hand of the king. You got to have the hand of God on your ministry. You got to have the hand of God on your gifting. I don't want to go anywhere without the anointing. I don't want to go anywhere if I haven't had some significant trembling going on. I want to know that God's with me. I want to know it's the anointing, because I really can't do much good for you without Him. I don't want to give you lectures or little cute pep talks. I want Him. I want Him all over me all the time, because I know that what He has will give you a breakthrough. And we need the hand of God on our lives. Soaking. I love soaking. Soaking, saturation, meditation, pickling, marinating. Ooh, do that a lot. Just kind of, whoa, just kind of groove with God. I love it. Sunday mornings, I'm just soaking with God, and I'm trying to, you know, type a few notes on my computer. And sometimes I get so whacked, I can't even type anymore. It's wonderful. You know, but you know what? I need the hand of God, because I am nothing without Him. So you got to humble yourself, get yourself in that, out of the familiar places, pick up your gifting, know who you are, position yourself for use. And number four, you got to get the hand of God on your life. Number five. After that, He said, open the windows. Open the windows. That's real simple stuff. You know what? You got to remove obstacles. There's no way you can release your arrows of victory if the windows are shut and there's obstacles in the way. You got to open the windows to your horizon. You got to let the light in. You got to remove everything that's hindering you. I mean, that's where, don't let your soul be lifted up to vanity. Eliminate the things that are weighing you down. I mean, let go of that sin that so easily entangles us. What is that sin? It's a faithless life. It's unbelief. It's a lack of passion. You got to open the windows, remove every single obstacle, and get yourself ready for use. Number six, after you've opened the windows, and then He says, shoot! You got to shoot. I can't tell you how many people just don't shoot. You know, they kind of get themselves all there, get themselves all ready, and they're there, and it's all ready to go, and then they just don't do anything. I mean, man, you got to... Let's have a few words of knowledge. I mean, I'll take people with me on ministry trips, and I'll be there and I'll go, all right, I want three words of knowledge from you this afternoon. You're going to prophesy. And they're like, ah? And they know I'm dead serious. I want them. We're going to function. We're going to do this stuff. You're going to shoot this afternoon. Oh my God. So, you know, I don't mind. I love it. The first few times they're in a panic attack, in a fit, just freaking out. And I go, all right, give me a word of knowledge quick. Bang, there it is. I want you to prophesy over this one. Bing, bing, we do it. I'll walk up with the worship team sometimes. I'll just walk over to one and go, prophesy. Boom, just give them a kick, prophesy. And they're like, yay, the Lord would say. You know what? If your gifting's there, I mean, most people, they just don't activate. They just don't do it. You know, it says, the Lord wants you to prophesy. He wants you to heal the sick. I mean, if you love people, you'll be used by the spiritual gifts, right? It says, because when you love people, you want to give gifts away. It's not that you possess them. I've been used in prophecy once. Hallelujah. Who cares? I don't care what you did. You know, right now, and imagine going to a hospital. You got a sick person in there, you know. Yay, I prophesied once. Well, have you ever been using the gift of healing? Because that's what I need right now. You know, you got to shoot. You got to activate. You got to get with the program. We got to do some stuff. If we're going to get in there and appropriate our inheritance, then we got to start using these power tools. And it's no good until you do it. I mean, Don could be running out in the woods and going, hey, you deer, I've got a gun. I know how to use it. They'd all be going, ooh. I mean, who cares? I mean, nothing happens until you actually go, bang. I mean, you got to aim, pull your trigger, and go for it. Shoot! Turn to your neighbor and say, shoot. Shoot! Shoot! What does that mean in American? Shoot! I mean, you're allowed to bear arms, aren't you? I mean, that's what I like about America. I have a right to this gun, if you don't mind. Not we Canadians, we're more passive sort, you know? Shoot! I mean, shoot. I mean, you're in there tomorrow, you're standing there at the pulpit, shoot at the people. I mean, just shoot, just look at them, and just believe that you're going to see heavenly scrolls come down over their heads and just prophesy wild, incredible things over them. You know what? Sick people say, we're going to heal all the sick today. Yeah. Oh my God, did I just say that? Oh my God. Bring all the sick people up and shoot. Just shoot. Just get the oil out and slap every one of them. Yeah. Today, we will heal the sick. Did I just say that? Oh, my God. Yeah, shoot. Go for it. You know, well, what if they don't all get healed? Well, what if one gets healed? Hey, and I tell you, if one gets healed, you know what? The faith levels start to rise in the place. And before you know it, you'll have a line at the door. They'll be bringing people here in ambulances and saying, could you help this one? I love Smith Wigglesworth. They came and brought a baby, and the sick baby, and the mother came and laid it up on the platform. And as he was preaching, he walked by and he punted the baby off the platform. I mean, that guy had a gun and he wasn't afraid to use it. You know, I mean, they caught the baby, and sure enough, the baby was healed. You better be walking in a spirit of faith if you're going to do that. And that's good stuff, eh? Just makes you want to do some stuff, though, doesn't it? I read that, and I go, whoa. Makes you want to go crazy. I mean, they had another guy, brought him in. The guy was loaded down with stomach cancer, brought him in a stretcher. He walked over and bam, just punched the guy right in the belly. Eh? And the guys went, ah! And like the staff, the nurses, they were going, you crazy man, you could have killed him. He'll be fine. Sure enough, bam, just punched the cancer right out of him. And they said to him, why do you hit people when you minister? He says, I've never, ever hit a person. They said, you have so. It's been shown in meetings where you've hit people. He says, I've never hit a person. I've punched lots of devils, but I've never hit a person. It's good stuff, eh? Yeah, it makes you want to punch somebody, doesn't it? Eh? Man, we got to shoot a little more. You know, shooting is just releasing your faith. You know, faith that's not released, it's just no good. And you got to release your faith. Faith works. Faith works. Faith works. And you know, Jesus said to him, he says, you don't need any more faith. What you need to do is use the faith you got. You got faith as small as a mustard seed. If you'd use it, you could speak to the mountain and say, be thrown into the lake. You don't need more faith. You need to use the faith you got. Okay, that's good. How many was that? Six? Praise the Lord. There's only seven. Has to be seven because a good 7-point sermon. I like 7-point sermons, 12-point sermons, sometimes 3-point sermons. They're just too short, though. But and 4-point sermons are good, too, because the 4 Gospels and 3 the Trinity and 7 perfection, 12 government. So those are all good numbers for sermons. Amen. If it goes to 13, you have to take one and tuck it under a sub-point because you can't have a 13-point. So you got to make point 12 a 2-pointer and sub-point it. I've had 48-point sermons before. It's good. It's good. Yeah. And what I do is I make them 4-point with, you know, 12 sub-points each, and just you can tuck a 48-point in a 4-point. It's great. It's awesome. They don't even know what hit them. It's awesome. Number seven. Ooh, ka-ba-ba-ba-ba. Take arrows and smite the ground. So you got to humble yourself, come to the place of the anointing. You got to pick up your gifting. You got to position yourself for use. You got to get the hand of God on you. You got to remove all the obstacles. Remove them. You got to release your faith. And number seven, you got to continue with boldness. You got to continue with boldness. Now, I love this because he said, take the arrows now and smite the ground. And, you know, the arrows, really, he came with a quiver and he brought his arrows. And, you know, a quiver full is like 5 or 6, you know. And so he's got these arrows and he said, take your arrows and strike the ground. I mean, here's the prophet now. We're going through all of this. He puts his hand on them. They release the arrow through the window. Then he stands and he said, now take your arrows. Take them. Strike the ground. And the guy goes, right now? Right now. Oh, the prophet was wroth. He was wroth. He went, you flunky. And you came here because you knew I'm about to go. You were seeing the chariots about to go. And you were looking for my mantle. But you are a puppy. He was ticked off. Out. You know what? You could have wiped out your enemies, but now you'll only defeat the Assyrians 3 times. You could have wiped them off the face of the earth, and you'd have never seen them again. But now you'll only do it 3 times. Move on, buckaroo! He was wroth with him. You know what? God loves passion. He loves passion. You know, the Gallup did a poll on why people go to church. They Gallup poll did a whole poll on all kinds of people. Why do you go to the church you go to? You know the number one reason people said why they went to the church they go to? The number one reason? The passion of the senior pastor. There's no passion in the pulpit. My goodness, we're in trouble. You know, we got to be a passionate people. You know, if we're going to possess our inheritance, we got to continue with boldness. We got to continue with boldness. I mean, get your hands on your anointing. Get your hands on that quiver. Get your hands on these arrows. Say, these arrows are for victory. And I mean, you got to strike the ground. And I mean, you got to hit it with passion. I mean, he should have taken that and just gone, bam, bam, bam. bam, 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 bam. But he went, 1, 2, 3. And the prophet was wroth with him. You know, I just have loved being with you, and I speak to you, and I speak over you. And I tell you, you got a glorious inheritance. And be authentic to it. Be honorable to it. And I want you to strike the ground. And I just want you to do something just a little bit wacky today. Just a little bit wacky. Just a little bit of a prophetic act. So I just want you to stand up. I want you to stand up. You know, I'm glad you came today. You know, I'm glad I came. But I'm glad you came. Because, you know, you came away from familiar things. Some of you had to drive places, go places, get a hotel room, do some stuff. And you had to leave the settled place, the place of rest. And you had to go somewhere and you had to do something. And, you know, I like that. So you've come and you've come. And I hope you came believing that there was something here for me. That I'm not just, oh, well, got to do the regional meeting. Got to do that. You know, that's what we do. I hope you came believing that my life is going to change. I hope you understand the moment that you're in right now. That you might have think you just wandered into something. Who's this little guy from up north? What's he think he's doing? But I always believe if I say I'm going to go somewhere, I'm only going to go because God tells me to go. And I want to leave a deposit with you and in you. And I believe that your ministries are going to be transformed, taken to new levels. But I pray you would activate that. I pray you would believe that. I pray you would go back to your pulpits and back to your ministries and things, and that your people would look at you and go like, who is this guy? What happened to him? I pray you would go back just different people. I pray you would go with just a sense of zeal, a sense of passion, a sense of knowing who you are, a sense of knowing how much has been invested in, and the fact that, you know what, all the resources of heaven you have absolute access to right now. You are not limited in any way, not restricted in any way. You know what, there is a calling, there's a deposit of God, there's an impartation of God in you, there are giftings that he's given you, and you are not lacking anything to be successful. But you know what, you got to get passionate about this. You got to remove the obstacles, you got to release your faith. You got to start shooting those arrows. And you know what? How big do you want to win? How big do you want to do this thing? I mean, how much of a victory? How big do you want to take? What chunk of this city do you want? How much sickness would you like eliminated from the region? How big of a change do you want to see in your area? Just take your right hand. Just lift it up and just say, wow. Given me this vehicle of absolute victory and authority. And now the Lord's saying, strike the ground. Strike the ground. Strike the ground. So I'm just going to say 1, 2, 3, strike. And I just want you to go a little wacky. I want you to go a little wacky. I just want you as a prophetic act. I just want you to hit the ground. And you know what? You could be here today and I might be watching and say, wow, I got to be wroth with a few of you. I don't want to be wroth with anybody though. You know, I just want you to be passionate. I want you to say, you know what? Let's do this thing. Let's really do it. And I just want you to just start to strike the ground. Strike whatever you feel like you need to strike. But you hit that thing left, right, and center. And let me speak this to you. Let me say it to you prophetically right now. You are choosing today. And God is saying right now, if you want to take your inheritance and you want to possess your field and you're never going to run from the enemy again, then how passionate are you? How many victories do you want? How big a breakthrough do you want? And God is saying, you choose. Just like in Deuteronomy, he says, today I'm here to offer you life and death. And choose life. I'm here today to say to you that God wants to condemn you to victory. He wants to condemn you to breakthrough upon breakthrough. How big a victory do you want? How big a victory do you want? I mean, I feel that in my spirit. I feel this isn't Carl speaking, but the Lord saying to you that the victory he has planned for you is unconditional. It's unparalleled. It is a victory that will be sweeping and powerful. But he's saying, son, daughter, how big of a victory do you want? I'm going to count to three, and then let's just go. Let's just get a little whacked. Let's just Let's just swing a little bit crazy. You ready? One. 2.5. 3! Ah! It's mine! Woo! Wow. Well, Heavenly Father, what a grace is mine to share with these dear saints and to be here to bless them. And in Jesus' name, I just command a sweeping blessing on each and every one right now. Right now, I just loose and I impart just a fresh anointing, a fresh touch right now. Just by the words of my mouth, I just release a sweeping anointing. Just a transformation. I loose right now. Just a blessing to go to new levels. Just right now, in the name of Jesus, I declare new eyes, new salve for the eyes to see, unparalleled blessing in the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I command the blessing of God, the blessing of God that makes truly rich, the blessing of God that no toil or travail can increase, but the blessing of God that will advance these works in power and in majesty and to honor you and to bring you great glory. So in Jesus' name, I bless this house. In Jesus' name, I bless these ministries. Be honored and be glorified in it all. Amen.